I'd like now to welcome to the program Liza Bakewell. She's a linguistic anthropologist, and she's author of the new book, Madre, Perilous Journeys with a Spanish Noun. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte. I'm happy to be here.
And you'll be speaking tonight at Collected Works Bookstore about your book. Here's the first thing I wanted to ask you. What is a linguistic anthropologist? What do linguistic anthropologists do?
Oh, that's a really good question. Linguistic anthropologists, as opposed to other linguists you might find in other places on a campus or outside a campus, tend to use the outdoors as their laboratory. So the outdoors meaning outside the traditional laboratory with computers and all sorts of gizmos. Linguistic anthropologists do their work inside taxi cabs or in bars, on the street, in kitchens, anywhere where people gather and talk.
And so you were a cultural anthropologist living and working in Mexico, and you started noticing things about the word madre and mother and different forms of the word madre, which led you to really get more and more interested in linguistics and in the use and the contradictory uses of the word mother. What were some of the first examples that you saw? And feel free to use and speak Spanish, because we're in New Mexico.
Well, I know there's also some censorship, so I'll be a little restrained. But when I first went to Mexico City in 1987, I was in a taxi cab, and we passed by a wall of graffiti. Now, at this point in my life, I was still learning Spanish, and I certainly had never learned any of the slangs. I certainly had never learned how to swear in Spanish. But there was this graffiti, a toda madre, un desmadre. I have a gringa accent, excuse me. And I wondered, what on earth does that mean? Words I had not, of course, madre I knew, but I didn't know those expressions, and I asked the cab driver, who giggled. And I thought, now, wait a minute, why are you laughing? What's so funny? And it took me years to find out, because back in those days, this is much less so today, a proper educated woman didn't talk about the word madre, because it was so, and still is, so involved in groserías, which are, you know, bad slang words. So it took me a long time to figure it out, but there I was in the taxi cab, and eventually I learned that a toda madre, literally a total mother, means awesome, but not necessarily an expression you'd use in polite company. And desmadre means a total F-up, if you will. It's a disaster, but in kind of swear word language. And this, of course, I couldn't figure out, because I had been told the way you're told things about a country before you go there, that in Mexico they worshiped mothers, that there were virgin mothers everywhere in churches and so forth, images of the Virgin Guadalupe, and mothers, the Mother's Day celebrations were bigger than practically their September Independence Day celebrations. And so I couldn't understand how on earth they could have so many expressions that were negative towards mothers. Me vale madre, literally it's worth a mother, means it's worthless. And I thought, wait a minute, what's going on? And it evoked a lot of laughter. That was one of the things I discovered immediately. Snickers, laughter. But it also turns out to be quite dangerous if you use these words the wrong way. That totally intrigued me. I loved the idea of learning more about it. And it helped me become a native speaker, so to speak.
Well, when you use those things and you're a foreigner, even if you're a woman, you kind of have a kind of a pass, because you don't know the rules, and so you're actually kind of allowed to get away with much more than somebody who was born and bred in that culture.
That's absolutely true. That's a great observation, and I use that to I exploited that. I knew that was the case, that I could fumble and say words that weren't pronounced exactly right. The fact that I was making an effort, you know, brought applause. And doors would open for me just because I wasn't really supposed to be there in that bar. but I was this foreigner, so they would let me in. And then, of course, I pleaded, but I'm an anthropologist. I can ask these questions. But it was actually a study that was a lot of fun. I didn't have any problems with the danger that is concomitant sometimes with the use of these words, because it was clear that I was doing an investigation. I wasn't insulting someone's mother. That can bring you all sorts of problems. I avoided that at all costs, of course. I didn't intend to, and I never tried to insult someone's mother. I just tried to understand what these insults of people's mothers were all about and why they evoked such strong emotions. But at the same time, enormous amount of humor. And that's what I tried to, you know, grapple with, is the humor within these insults.
Now, toda madre means almost the same thing as bien padre, padre being father. They both mean something good, and yet un desmadre, which oddly enough is masculine, even though madre is la madre, feminine, which I don't understand. But madre means, it kind of means everything. It means everything good, everything bad. You can find an expression to mean almost anything you want.
Yes, but mostly bad. Mostly bad. And when it means good, it's in a kind of, it's the way we might say, or some kids might say, oh, that's bad, meaning good, right? So the expression, most of the expressions with madre, if you parse them out, are negative toward mothers. It can mean good, and it can mean bad, depending on your intonation and the context and who's listening and where are you saying this, how old you are, if you're, and so on and so forth, all those other variables that come to bear on how we interpret what's being said. But you're right to bring up que padre, and I forgot to mention it when I was first in this taxi cab, and a few days following, I learned the expression for the first time, que padre, and this means literally what a father, but it means it's fabulous, and you use it in any context that you would use, it's fabulous. So from dinner to movies to friends to some painting. And I thought that was so interesting that there were only one or two or three expressions with padre in them, padrísimo. There's very, very few. It's just a small handful. And yet everyone is wonderful. There's not one expression equivalent to all of the madres in the padre world. The madres can mean good and bad, but they articulate so much in the world of insults toward mothers.
As a linguistic anthropologist, what did you do next? How did you follow the threads of this word to figure out what the cultural significance was in a culture that reveres mothers and then uses the word mother as an insult?
Well, it took a long time. I asked everyone and anyone when I was living in Mexico, and if I was outside Mexico and I knew they were a native Spanish speaker, Mexican or otherwise, I continued to ask questions about the word madre. Wherever they were from, it didn't matter to me. And what I eventually found myself doing, once I left my laboratory that I mentioned earlier, once I left the streets and the bars and the taxi cab drives and the kitchens, I started traveling into the language of Spanish generally, and then I found myself looking at grammatical genders specifically, and what contribution might that be making to these descriptions and these idiomatic expressions of madre in them. And I discovered that words like childbirth and love, sex, marriage were all in the masculine, all words related to madre, if you will. I didn't go beyond that. I tried to just stick to this one word. And that led me into understanding more about Indo-European languages, because while a lot of these grammatical genders are inherited from the Latin, they have an origin at some point. And I asked the question, well, where and when and why? And I came up with some answers. And then eventually I had to come back to Mexico and ask the question, okay, well, there are gendered preferences in the language long before Spanish. And those preferences have had an impact on these expressions of madre many years later. But why does Mexico have so many expressions with madre in them compared to all the other Spanish-speaking languages, which have them just as much as we have them. You know, we have the yo mamas and your mother wears army boots and your mother is ugly. We have ways of using madre or mother in insulting ways, too. But the plethora of expressions with madre in them in Mexico required me to answer the question, what happened in Mexico? And then I have to come back to language and its relationship to culture, language and its relationship to the state. And what I found was that the state and culture at large plays an enormous role, along with history, plays an enormous role in shaping the language we use. And then in turn, that use of the, our language that we inherit shapes the way we the world. It doesn't determine the way we see the world. It simply has an impact on it.
So what did happen to Mexico?
Well, what happened in Mexico is a very long story, but for our purposes here, the it began in the 1850s, where there was an inversion of how the state was going to construct motherhood. Before the 19th century, which of course was the colonial period, mothers were not revered. Mothers were not considered even capable of parenting for the most part. In fact, if you were widowed as a mother, many times your children were taken away from you because you were not considered capable of raising them without the father. And there was a flip-flop, a complete turnaround in the 19th century after independence, and particularly after the 1850s, because, you know, it takes a long time for Mexico to get back on its feet again after the wars of independence and so forth. There's a lot of turmoil for a very long time. But once that happens, then you have a settling in of all sorts of decisions and ideologies. And one of them concerns mothers, and it's a very, very powerful one. And the state makes a very conscious decision to elevate the place mothers hold in Mexican society. And eventually, not until the 1920s, but eventually this leads to the consecration, in a way, of the Mother's Day, which is a very big event in Mexico. It's waning and itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny, but it's nothing like it is celebrated in the United States. It's huge. And these 1850 policies ripple throughout, right up until today, and it comes with a desire, in some sense, to keep mothers in the home, because motherhood becomes absolutely sacred in the language of the secular state. And this language of motherhood includes glorifying staying at home with your children, raising the souls of the nation, of the new independent nation. And don't go out on the streets, the secretaries of education would tell the women gathered for many decades. Don't go out on the street knocking on doors looking for jobs. Your job is to stay home. And in part, this was a backlash against the women who were becoming educated and looking for jobs. It's a very complicated explanation. I talk about it quite a bit in the book. I try to, in a couple of chapters, describe how this actually happened and how it becomes a Mexican thing to then take this sacred symbol and invert it. Because that's what we do when we swear. You know, you're going to get a much bigger rise if you use in your swear words words that are sacred in society, or at least taboo. And that's what happens with madre.
When you talk about that, there's a certainly a parallel, probably worldwide and certainly in the United States, to the way femininity and femaleness were constructed before and during the Industrial Revolution, and then the whole 1950s, post-World War II, people staying home with their kids being the ideal and so on. It's not unique to Mexico, although I suppose there are some aspects of it that are uniquely Mexican.
That's absolutely true. In fact, in the 1850s, when the liberals were rewriting how Mexico was going to go forward, they turned to Victorian England when it came to what they were going to do with motherhood. And so it's true, these models came from elsewhere. it's not the explanation of why so many madres in Mexico does not solely rest on what happened in the 1850s and post-independence era. It rests in part on that, but then the whole history that rests on. So you've got to put in the Catholic Church. You have to put in, I mean, if you add up all the ingredients, they would include, you know, the salt and peppers and the flowers and whatever to create this. Include, of course, the Catholic Church, the history of Indo-European languages, Latin, grammatical genders, and also, of course, the Virgin Guadalupe, who's particularly Mexican, and so on and so forth. And all of these ingredients, which I discuss in my book, all add up to what happens in Mexico. It becomes the particular constellation that you find in Mexico, overlapping, of course, with other countries. It shares many aspects with many other countries, not only Spanish-speaking, as you've pointed out. But all of these ingredients together are unique to Mexico.
We're talking to Liza Bakewell about her book, Madre, Perilous Journeys with a Spanish Noun. There's a lot of humor in the book, and one of the things that I guess I have to say that I related to was this experience of asking questions and for minutes, days, weeks, years, not getting a straight answer. And that's just sort of part of the process of being, at least for me, of being in Latin America and trying to figure things out with a kind of maybe Cartesian approach that doesn't necessarily apply.
That's true. You have to have a sense of humor. I'm a feminist. Back in those days, I was a ferocious feminist. And so, of course, when I heard que padre, that's wonderful, and me vale madre, that's awful, that's worthless, I don't give a damn. Of course, I was, oh my God, that ruffled my feminist feathers. And but I also have a sense of humor. I love to laugh. And I found that the humor that was part of these expressions was something that I could tap into, and I found also excessively hysterically funny. And I wanted to be able to put that in my book. While I'm traveling around over these decades, really, asking my friends, what on earth is this all about? I realized that it was a combination of, I did understand that these expressions are predicated on a gendered imbalance, one that we see around the world. This is hardly peculiar to Mexico or Spanish or Romance languages. We see it everywhere. But slavery in Mexico is filled with enormous adoration for mothers. Everyone loves their mother, but their mother also drives them crazy. Of course, we see that around the world too. But the humor that's with it is so particular to Mexico. It took me a very long time, and part of this whole perilous journey that I take, my subtitle, is exactly as you say. It took me a long time. Not everyone wanted to talk to me right away. I was from the outside. I was this gringa, this, you know, educated gringa. And so not everyone was sure, how are we going to talk to her? You know, I'm in the bar. I'm a bricklayer. I'm a taxicab driver. Or, you know, I'm a young person. At the time, I was a lot younger than I am now. That's what happens when decades go by. You get older. But I think if I were to do this today, without any of the information that I've gleaned over the years, if I were to start the study today, and I was, again, 28 years old, I would have an easier time of it, because the young, just like with the F word in the United States, which has found its way into conversations with young women and men in a way that it just wasn't there when I was, you know, 18 years old, my mother wouldn't have allowed it. But today, things are different, and these words are used much more often by the younger generation, and I could slip in much easier, and also they would talk to me more, you know, because they're all using it. They're all using these expressions, and they're mixing them in ways that are not always offensive. You know, they're using them to their advantage. So it's even more a little more complicated today on how these expressions are being used. But nonetheless, it's the way swear words can be used by young girls and boys today. you know, as a mother now, I don't like to hear it. I don't want my children swearing. But I also understand it gives you a certain amount of power among your friends to bond. So, you know, these words are used anyway. Today, they're much more out in the open with the younger generation, not with my generation or the older generation. They
right.
would, know.
Liza Bakewell is a linguistic anthropologist at Brown University, and her new book is called Madre, Perilous Journeys with a Spanish Noun. She will be speaking tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. So we will see you then, and thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. It's been a pleasure. I can't wait to get to Santa Fe.
Excellent. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.